thou exalted, forever and ever. God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in wisdom, majestic in glory, perfect in holiness, and worthy of praise. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest, Savior of sinful men, Redeemer and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory. Humbly we come to thee, our homage to bring. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, O Spirit of power, dwelling within our hearts to keep us from sin. God of the ages and Lord of salvation, ruler of heaven and earth, thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted by seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen.
I mentioned about this coming Sunday during the meetings that are coming up next Sunday after the morning service. We are going to be having a meal here at the church. It is going to be kind of potluck style. Bring what you have, what you can. If you just think of it this way, bring enough for your family, whoever's coming, plus some extra, because there are going to be six extra people here. So make sure that you do that, but just bring what you can. If we all, you say, Pastor, what if we all bring the same thing? Then guess what? We'll all eat the same thing. So I don't know what else to say about that. There are times that we've had our ladies do a lot of work, and they do a lot of planning, and they do a great job with that. We're not doing that this time, so just bring it. Whatever we bring is what we're going to eat. And again, just bring plenty for that, but that will be next Sunday, right after the morning service. We just get together and fellowship around the Lord's table that way. All right, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 20 is where we're going to be at this evening. John chapter 20. John is probably my favorite gospel of the Passion, the crucifixion, the sayings that are given. And this little section right here is just one of my favorites concerning the resurrection and all that is surrounded with that. And so we're going to look at this passage, and we're here in John chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at Mary Magdalene, when she comes, and she, of course, is seeking Jesus, and she's got a special relationship with Jesus. Of course, Jesus had forgiven her of a lot of wicked sin in the past, and so her and Jesus, praise the Lord for the friendship that they had, all right? And so this is a special time. It's going to be a time of There's a lot of emotion going through with Mary Magdalene, for sure. But I would suggest to you that Jesus is close to her as well, and he cares for her. And we're going to see some things that are really important. So Jesus has died on the cross. He has he's died. He's paid the penalty of sin. It is finished. The work for salvation is complete with that. And then, of course, he goes to the tomb. And, of course, Joseph of Arimathea takes the body and he does right. He puts the body in the tomb and does everything there to make sure that it was a proper burial. And then Jesus is in the tomb for the 3 days. And then he is risen. And that we talked about this morning. And then, of course, Jesus arose. And Jesus makes an appearance here to Mary Magdalene. And it's a special appearance. He didn't have to make this appearance. He chose to. He chose to come and meet up with an individual that was hurting. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to read through it, and then we're going to come back and look at a few principles tonight before we partake of the Lord's table. Just something small tonight, but I think will be very interesting. We're in John chapter 20. And I want us to, let's go to verse 11, if you would. Verse 11, and then we're going to read down through verse 18. All right, John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, would you please teach us a few things this evening? God, a few things that we need to learn in our lives in following Jesus. Thank you for what Jesus has done through this narrative. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at verse 14. I read more than 14, but let's look at verse 14. All right, so Jesus was standing. She goes in and she looks, and there was angels there, and you know, there's one at the head, one at the feet, but no Jesus. And she says, you know, what have you done to the angels? What have you done with him? You know, if you've taken him somewhere, let me go and get him. And we get to verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? You know, it's just, he just appeared. You know, we can imagine where Mary Magdalene had, she had come in, obviously, she came through the door that was rolled away, the stone had been rolled away, and she gets in there. I don't suspect that Jesus was standing there and greeted her on the way through, but she comes through, and at some point in time, again, we don't know exactly the details, but Jesus, you know, maybe while she's there talking with the angels and, you know, saying, you know, she's crying and she's saying, what have you done with my Lord? Where have you taken him? Just show me so I can, you know, so I can go and see him. And And she's talking, and at some point in time while she's there, Jesus makes himself available. Have you really thought through that? Why did he do that? Why did Jesus come to appear back at the place he just had resurrected from? He had been delivered from this grave. He had declared victory over that grave, over that tomb, over that door, over that seal, over these people. He had declared victory. He wasn't long gone. He came back. Why did Jesus come back to the tomb? So Mary is there, and she's there. I don't know how she was. I don't know her posture, but she's there crying before these angels. Somewhere, Jesus is back here. And understand, our expectation and in rendition of these tombs is probably skewed some, unless we've been there and seen them, and I have not, but probably a little bit different. I don't know how big this was. I don't know if Jesus was standing, you know, just 2 or 3 feet away, or I don't know if there was an entryway in, but somewhere Jesus was back behind. Mary Magdalene is talking to the angels, and at one point in time she gets done talking and she turns. And there's Jesus. Before we look at anything that Jesus says, I want you to see something, that Jesus made himself available to Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene came seeking for Jesus. She wanted to find him. Where have you taken him? She was a diligent seeker. Jesus cares about that. You know what, folks? That Jesus makes himself available to seekers. If we seek him, we shall find him, the scriptures say. Let's take our Bibles, keep your finger here in John chapter 20, and let's look at the verse that I was just using, Jeremiah chapter 29, if you would. Just go back to the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 29. Folks, what we're looking at is some good, simple truths before the Lord's table tonight. Some good things that Jesus cared. Question, did Jesus have to come to this lady? No, he didn't have to. He wanted to. Jeremiah chapter 29, let's look at verse 13. Ye shall seek me, find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Folks, understand this, that when we desire Jesus and we want him, have you ever wanted Jesus to show up? Have you ever wanted, I really want Jesus. I need his help. I need his direction. I need his compassion. I need his love. I need his care. Folks, God's word tells us very specifically that when we want Jesus, when we seek him, he's going to show up. You know, Mary Magdalene was a seeker. She wanted to know where Jesus was. She sought for Jesus, and Jesus showed up. I think that that's neat, that Jesus cared enough about Mary Magdalene to do that. He made himself available. You know, Mary's there, and Jesus comes. He shows up somehow. He shows up. And he's standing there, and he knew Mary was going to turn. And Mary turns and sees Jesus. Now, she didn't know who he was, but he made himself there, readily available and close to be of help. And was Jesus a help to Mary Magdalene during this time? Oh, meant the world to her. This would transform her thinking and thoughts. There he was, my master, my high master. The word Rabboni is a very honoring word. It wasn't just master. This was master, like headmaster, head teacher. He's the one, oh, master, you are here. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But he made himself available. Go back to Psalm, if you would. Go back to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. I'm going to look at a few verses in this passage. Psalm chapter 34, and we see verse 4. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Folks, I want to tell you something. We seek the Lord and he hears. He hears what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's the Lord. That's Jesus. Are we seekers? You know, God cares about people that are hurting. God cares that people are about people that are in need. God cares when we have lack. God cares when we have physical situations. God cares when we have emotional struggles. God cares when we have spiritual issues going on. God cares when we have social issues. I don't know what you're going through in life, but I want to tell you something, that he makes himself readily available. There's no way that God says, Jesus says, now listen, I've been on this earth long enough. I'm going away. I'm not coming back. He returns back to the same spot that he got claimed victory over. Why? Because he cared enough to show up for Mary Magdalene. He cared, and he made himself available. Look at Psalm 34, 18. You're there already in the chapter. We read down in verse 18, the Lord caring for people, especially people that are struggling. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Folks, if that's you this morning, I want to tell you good news. Turn around and look, and you'll see Jesus. He's there, and he's there ready to make an impact in your life. He's there wanting to answer you. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What do you need the Lord for? And for Mary, Jesus readily made himself available to this individual that was hurting. I first of all find it interesting that Jesus made himself available. And folks, he makes himself available to his children that need him. Oh God, I need you right now. I would encourage you, like this morning, to turn around and look, because Jesus is there. Jesus is close. Jesus wants to help. Now, Mary did not recognize Jesus right away. And that's interesting. Let's go back to John 20. The end of the verse, verse 14, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, there have been many ideas of why Mary didn't recognize Jesus. Some say that it was because of all the tears. You know, you don't see well when you've got tears flowing down your eyes and on your cheeks. And could be true. Some would suggest that Mary didn't recognize him because he was resurrected and he was different, or maybe what he went through. I don't know. I do know one thing, that Mary did not recognize Jesus. She just didn't recognize him. You know, she turns and she sees an individual standing there. Jesus, verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. So, does Mary know who Jesus is? No. She thinks it's a gardener standing there. Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So she doesn't recognize Jesus. She's in some sort of, you know, where? And, you know, Jesus, does Jesus know who Mary is? Of course he does. He's looking at Mary, and he's shown up because of this hurting lady, and he makes himself available. She turns, and he's a gardener to her. Just tell me where he is. He asks her the question, you know, why are you crying, Mary? Why are you weeping? That's an interesting question that Jesus asked her. Woman, why weepest thou? Now you can look at that and you can say, oh, he's just asking why he's crying, but have you ever asked somebody why they were crying? I would suggest to you that Jesus had compassion on Mary. When I think of somebody crying, I think of going up to them and saying, why are you crying? I don't like to see the tears. What's wrong? What are you crying? What's going on? Who are you looking for? Whom seekest thou? I submit to you that Jesus is compassionate to our needs. He's very compassionate to our needs. Again, keeping your fingers here, let's go back to Psalm 56, if you would. The writing in my notes weren't very clear. It looks like 56. Let's discover if that's the truth. Let's go to Psalm 56. The psalmist says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. And then the question, are they not in thy book? And the psalmist goes through, when I cry unto thee, then shall... So, a hurting situation. And I remember, I don't even think that I really recognized this verse until FBI class. I remember the teacher there talking about the little tear bottle. And that was something, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but back in Jewish times there, they had these little bottles. And they would, there was something they would do. You might say it's silly, but what they would do is they would take the tears of somebody and they would catch those tears. And of course the tears would dissipate or whatever, but the point was is they were special to that one. And they kept those in a bottle. Not only that, but they were kept in a book. My friends, I want to tell you something. Jesus cares about the tears that you cry. Jesus cares about the struggles that you're going through. Jesus cares about Mary Magdalene, who is here crying and looking for Jesus. And in compassionate voice, he says, Mary, why are you crying? What's wrong? Who are you looking for? Now, he knew. Jesus knew that she was looking for him. But Jesus understands. Does Jesus care about your financial situation right now? What's the answer? He does. Does Jesus care about your family situation right now? He does. And I want to tell you, he's not saying over there, that family over there, they need to grow up. He doesn't shake his head and say, they need to get... No, my friends, I want to tell you something. When he sees you crying, he's there with a little bottle. And he takes that tear and he holds it close to his chest. He says, I hurt for that person. I know what they're going through. He had a lot of care for Mary Magdalene this day. He was a compassionate man. Woman, why are you crying? He cared enough to carefully take a pen and copy them into a book and write it down. Folks, I want to tell you something. He does care about those financial needs. He cares about what you're going through in your own heart, the struggles that you have, the things that you're praying for, the things that you're pleading to Him for, the things that you're crying for. He knows what you're going through at work and the difficult situations that are there. He knows what you're going through physically and the struggles and the fear that you have about the upcoming procedure or the upcoming test or the whatever. God cares about every one of those things, and none of those things are too small that He says, listen, deal with it. He cares enough to return to the place that he just rose from. to be compassionate to Mary. And he says, Mary, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? The neat thing is he had Mary's answers. He had the answer for everything. Folks, I want to tell you something. Not only does he care, but he has the answers for all that you are careful about. He cares. We sing the song, Does Jesus Care? And we sing in that song so many times, Does Jesus Care When? And you fill in all kinds of blanks. And what's the answer at the end of that song? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. He cares. Friends, I want to tell you something. The resurrection story is amazing for the Christian because Jesus cares. He had just went through the cross. And he cared about little Mary Magdalene. And he didn't make light of her concerns and her tears. Instead, he had compassion on her. Mary, why are you crying? In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he cares about your situations too. He cares very much about every one of those things. He cares. May we be caring people as well. You know, we ought to care about what other people are going through. Sometimes here at church, we hear about somebody that's going through this, and for us, we're not going through it. In fact, some of us, you've already gone through it, and you're like, that's kind of little. I went through that 20 years ago, and he'll get through it, she'll get through it, not that big of a deal. You know, that is not, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't care? He didn't have that attitude with Mary. She'll get over it. Just give her a little time. The tears will stop. She'll wake up the next morning. Things will be new. That is not Jesus' attitude, folks. When you were crying last night, when you were crying a week ago, when you were crying this afternoon, he was caring. And he cares for you. I want us to go to the third thing. What does Jesus say? He asks who she's seeking for. And then in verse 16, Jesus says unto her, and what did he say? Mary. Was that word significant? You say, Pastor, it was her name. It was significant. What did him saying Mary mean? What did it do for Mary, by the way? Again, Mary's there. She turns. She thinks him to be a gardener. And he says, you know, he says, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And she says some things, and she's going on in her tears. She's still crying. They've taken away my Lord. I just want to. And then he stands there and he says, Mary. And Mary immediately recognizes his voice, recognizes the compassion, recognizes his availability, recognizes everything. Master. What was the significance of that one word, that one name, Mary? I'll tell you what, it's more than, well, you say, Pastor, it was just her name. It was more than that. He was offering himself as a personal helper. It was kind of like saying, Mary, it's me. He knew that she would recognize his voice. He knew that she would recognize that name, Mary. There was a personal connection. All he had to say was her name, Mary. And immediately, everything was answered. And I want to tell you tonight, as we close this section and go on to the Lord's table, Jesus makes himself known to us in very personal ways. It is I. You remember on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples had no clue and Jesus comes walking on the water. And who is it that's coming out, supposing it to be a spirit? And what was his answer? It is I. It's the Lord. He makes himself not only available to us and compassionate to us, but as a personal relationship and fellowship. a personal individual with us. He's basically saying, Mary, I'm your friend. I'm your master. I am the one that you know. Psalm 41:10 is a familiar psalm to many of you. That might be a familiar one to you, but that's the wrong one. 46. It's good to have people in the room knowing more than I do. Well, that's a good one too. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Be still, know that I am God. What's the passage that says, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee? Where is that? Is that Isaiah? Maybe that's what I wrote down wrong. Isaiah 41:10, is that it? You thought you had as a pastor, pretty smart guy. Sorry. Yes. Fear thou not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, that's like saying Mary. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you have a personal relationship, fellowship with Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something. He wants to. And he doesn't just stand there and say, Mary. He says, Rick, Bettina, Carrie, Victoria, Steve. He says your name because he desires it. He said, it's me. It's me. I love this little passage right here. I love it. I love him making himself known to Mary Magdalene. Friends, he's available. He's there. Just look and see. He's compassionate. He cares. He puts our tears and tucks them close. He offers himself as a personal helper and says your name. Sean, it's me. We praise the Lord for what Jesus has done. This is all possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is available. He's there for us. If Jesus was still on the cross, we would have none of this. None of it. Be dead. And we would be on our own. And like the passage said in 1 Corinthians 15, we would be miserable because we'd be helpless. Hopeless. But that's not the case. We serve a risen Savior that's in the world today. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus. And I thank you so much for your personal compassion and care and help, personal help to an individual that was struggling. And Lord, we're individuals just like Mary Magdalene, sinners, wicked sinners, saved by grace, seeking, searching. Lord, and you said that we could find you if we search with all our hearts. Lord, help us to be like Mary. God, thank you that you are yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And ask the men that are serving.